I've written on the board a bucket of potatoes. And that's kind of the theme of the message the Lord put on my heart. I've been meditating on it for the last 2 weeks, I guess. I'd like to begin over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, very familiar passage of Scripture. Begin with the 14th verse. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Seems like we're living in a time, and I'm going to say I even feel the pressure, I'll just acknowledge it, I even feel the pressure among us sometimes, that this word holiness puts people's defenses up. What are you going to say? Okay, when you start talking about holiness, people start getting uncomfortable. I don't know if you're uncomfortable or not, but folks, holiness should not make us uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with holiness. Actually, the Scripture says without it we won't see God. And that has, I believe it has more than one meaning. Ultimately, it means if we don't live a holy life, we're not going to be able to make it to heaven. If we don't live a holy life, we're not going to be able to make it. But even in this life, we are not going to be able to experience the satisfaction that we just got done singing about. We're not going to be able to come and be in the presence of God and experience that relationship with Him without holiness. Holiness is not something that I can manufacture by following a list of rules and regulations. True holiness comes from my opening up my heart what it was a sinful condition, in allowing Christ to come in and purify me and give me of His holiness. So now I have nothing to boast to you about this morning about what I have done or how good I am, but all of our boasting, as the Scripture says, is in the Lord. Because any good that is in our life, if it has any merit, if it has any value, it is only because of Jesus Christ in our life. Without holiness, we won't see God. We won't experience His presence, His comfort, His strength, His grace. It takes holiness. Holiness is a state of purity. You know what something is when it's pure? It's homogeneous. That means it's the same throughout. It's not one condition here and another condition here. It's sameness. It's oneness. The word holiness, and I'll just guess say for your information, in the New Testament, the word holiness is often the same word that is translated as sanctify in other passages in the New Testament. So when you talk about sanctification or holiness, a lot of times it's just a difference in the translation of our English word. But it means the same. It's oneness. And the Lord came to work in our life to perfect us that we would be a pure people. Our hearts are pure when we are completely open to God and submissive to His will and His way. That does not mean that the Lord won't come along and say, "Michael, there's an area in your life here that I want to perfect." See, He's sanctifying me in that spot. He's purifying me. My heart is pure when I'm open. Lord, whatever You show me, whatever You want me to do, I'm submissive to that. But we're on a journey this morning. There is a condition where the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up His abode in our life. But He's equipping us for the journey. We're being equipped, and then He leads us and guides us and perfects us and purifies us as time and circumstance moves on. Clean. Scripture says, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? For they shall see God." The pure in heart, in other words, my affections, my love is undivided. Someone's love is not pure when it's divided, when it's separated. I've used this illustration often, but how I can put it on my wife or myself, however you want to look at it. But what do you think my wife would think if I told her, I said, "Honey, I love you. I love you and I want to be with you. You're my wife." You know, 5 days out of the week. 2 6-days out of the week if you want. In 1 day out of the week, I've got my other little honey over here, But 6 days out of the week, you are my love. Do you think that would be an acceptable measure of love? It wouldn't be to me. What the Lord is saying is here, I want you to be pure in your heart. I want your affection to be centered on me and let me work in your life. We are living in a religious time where so many people's love is divided. And we can come to service and we can say, I love the Lord. And maybe we do in part. But is our love undivided? Is it a pure love that I'm going to take my eyes off of the world? I'm going to take my eyes off of the pollution of the world and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm yours. Exclusively yours. It doesn't mean we're humanly perfect. Is there anybody here that's humanly perfect? We're not. We all have areas of growth. We all make mistakes. We all have needs in our life. But we can be spiritually perfect this morning. Pure and holy, that, Lord, my desire and my focus and my purpose is for you. And when you come in and you show me that, you know what, I wasn't as patient as I should have been there. Or, Lord, I was getting too distracted with some things over here, and I know it was starting to take me, it was starting to hinder me spiritually. When the Lord shows us, the true saint of God will say, thank you, Lord, would you help me now? Would you help me to grow? Would you perfect that in my life? Would you strengthen me there? Blessed are the pure in heart, those that are undefiled and untainted. True holiness is a condition of heart. Does everybody know that this morning? It's okay to say amen, it really is. But is it okay to understand holiness is a condition of heart? Because if we're not careful, there are good things. The Scripture teaches us the fruit of holiness, does it not? It teaches us good things to do. And even among us as a people, there are traditions that are based on principles of holiness. And some say, well, that's just a tradition, throw it out. You throw out all the traditions, you're going to find yourself without even a base of principle holiness in your life. All right? Down the road, somewhere, you're going to find that happening. But I want us to know this morning that true holiness is not something that I can just button my top button this morning and I can put on a suit coat and I can say I'm dressed up and I'm modest and I can come to church and I can raise my hand and I can sing and I can pray and I can even preach. Does that make me holy? No. Holiness is a condition of heart. Holiness is about what's going on between you in your relationship with God. Now, if I were to say modesty doesn't matter and I'll throw it all out, yes, it does, because if my heart's right with God, I'm going to do what the Bible teaches me, and the Bible teaches me modesty. But too many times people say, well, we believe in holiness, and you say, what do you mean? Well, the women wear, you know, this, and we don't wear that, and we don't go there, and we don't do that. Those are some works or fruit of holiness. But true holiness is something that's going on between you and God. It's a condition of heart. And it comes by yielding ourselves to God and operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit rather than operating under the desires of the flesh. That's what holiness is. Where our love for God is chief. And then the fruit of the life. The fruit of the heart of holiness, it comes out in works of holiness, in acts of holiness. But God cannot bring forth His holiness in our lives if our love is given to the things of the world. Holiness is not manifest by works alone, but it's by the heart that brings forth the good works. You know, there are a lot of things that people term holiness that the carnal man can do. You realize that the carnal man can measure to most of the standards that we hold close to our hearts here as a group? And I do too. I'm not knocking it. You throw them out, you're going to find yourself violating the principle of the Scripture. But my point is this. Holiness is something in the heart. Because the carnal, unregenerated person can measure to outward standards. They do it in all kinds of religious groups the world over. You can dress whatever way you want. You can not go certain places, not have certain things in your home. It doesn't make you holy. If you're holy, you're going to make decisions that are going to promote relationship with God. But holiness is about your love and about the purity of your desire for God in His work in your life. So what does that have to do with potatoes? I was driving in Kenya. I had taken some to the airport and picked some others up. And it's a long old road. And while we were a few hours away from the orphanage, I started down the road. There were ladies just all along the road with buckets full of potatoes. And I thought, you know what? That would be good to take some potatoes back to the children at the orphanage. So I drove along contemplating a while, and I thought, well, I need to find out how much they cost. And there is a Mzungu price. Mzungu is a white person. There's a Mzungu price, and then there's the native price, and I'm always interested in the native price. And so I drove along, and finally I stopped about two or three places. How much for your potatoes? And I tried to kind of get them down a little bit. And so I said, okay, well, thank you. And I pulled off, knowing I'd find some more down the road, that at least I'd have a proper place to start bargaining. Came up to a place, and I thought, all right, the time's come. I'm going to buy some potatoes. And there is a large group of women around and just buckets. There are buckets about this big, piled high over the top. This much potatoes over the top of those buckets. Big, nice-looking potatoes. So I stopped the vehicle and got out and went and started doing some bargaining and back and forth with them a little bit. Finally, I said, okay, well, I want to get about five or six buckets of potatoes. So they went and got me a big old tarp and a big old bag and opened it up. And I said, now, I want to ask you something. I said, the potatoes underneath that I can't see. I said, are they good potatoes or you put your bad ones in the bottom? Oh, no, 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 no. So they came, and these women rushed me with their buckets, just wanting to dump them in that bag so I couldn't see what was going on. And I looked into that bag, and I said, just stop a minute. And on the top, you have to understand, the potatoes came up this big, and they were nice big ones. And I looked, and I started finding a lot of little potatoes about this big. And I said, what are these? What are these potatoes? I said, you told me they were good. I said, I don't want these little orphan little potatoes. I said, why are you giving me these? I took the opportunity to preach a little message to them. On the surface, they had something good to offer. But underneath, they were covering up the undesirable things with their bucket of potatoes. I didn't pay them full price for those. They said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I'm not going to pay you what we agreed to. I said, are these little potatoes? No. And I said, I'll give you this much for them. And they said, okay, okay. So I was fair with them, but I wasn't going to give them full price for little potatoes. Folks, we're not going to be able to get the blessings for serving God unless we are holy. Remember I said holy is the same throughout? Those buckets of potatoes were not holy. The top ones looked good. They covered it up, but what was underneath, I couldn't see. So what does that have to do with us? What about your bucket of potatoes this morning? What's underneath? Because see, we can all come and we can look good and we can act good and we can have a good front, but do you know, nobody knows what's going on in your heart like you do. Unbelief, fear, questions, and you know we all have questions sometimes. We can question, I don't understand, it seems like I'm just not sure. But there's a way to have question and still be holy. It's, Lord, I want to serve you, and I need some help here. Things that are going on in your life that nobody else knows. I mentioned to you all last month before I left, I saw that T-shirt in the fuel station for truckers. It says what happens on the road stays on the road. In other words, it doesn't go home with us. You can do what you want out here on the road and it's not going to follow you back home. That's a lie of the devil. You know what happens on the road. You know what happens at work. You know what happens at school. You know what happens when you're just quiet and physically there's nothing going on and you know what's going on up here and in here. Lord, help us to live holy. Lord, help it not to be that we promote a facade of righteousness. And I'm not even going to take the time to read it. You remember the Pharisees? Jesus spoke straight to them. And he said, you're like whited sepulchers. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm just going to put it in our language. He said, you look good on the outside. You've measured to a standard of man, a standard of holiness, if you will, on the outside. But he said, inside, you're just like a bunch of bones. Bunch of dead men's bones. You clean the outside. And you look attractive and it looks good. Just like that bucket of potatoes. These are some good potatoes. But you get down underneath and he said, you're hypocrites. It's what he told the Pharisees. He said, outwardly you appear righteous unto men, but you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. But they prayed and they fasted and they tithed. Want us to know, and I know you all know this morning, but coming to church doesn't make you holy. Now, if you choose to stay away from church, I'll tell you what. It starts being indicative of a condition of your life. It starts being indicative of something going on in your heart. Where's your affection? What are you spending your time in? But coming to church and doing the things that you've always done with your family and with your church family, it's not going to do anything in your heart until we open up our heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not interested in trying just to imitate Brother Cook now, but Lord, I want to have some from you for myself. Because I can come and do things that Brother Cook could approve of, and I can bask in the approval of Brother Cook. But when I go home, I still got something going on in my life that ought not to be there. And so the Lord's saying, I want you to be pure. I want you to open your heart up and allow me to work, that you can have it for yourself, that now the reason I'm doing these things is not just because we've always done it, but Lord, I want to please you and I want to live in a condition that I can see the Lord for myself. There are people that come to services among us for many, many years, and all they have is a facade. And they look around and they say, this doesn't mean anything. I don't have to live this way. They're judging things based on their own experience because they've been doing it for the wrong reasons. They've been trying to please people rather than getting down and doing business with God for themselves. Scripture teaches us a very familiar passage in 1 John 2 in the 15th verse through 17. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, it's not pure. It's not holy because it's a divided love. And I want us to consider just briefly about this divided love. He said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust is a condition of the heart, just like holiness is. It's a condition of heart. It's that which within. Jesus taught us it's not the things on the outside that defile a person. It's the things that are in the heart. And that's where all kinds of evil and corruption comes from. It's based on what's going on in the heart. And I want to ask us again this morning, it's not my job to come because, see, ultimately, I'm not buying your potatoes. You understand? But ultimately, when you consider this bucket of potatoes, what's underneath in your life? What's going on? What's at work? What influences are you operating under? Where are your affections? Where are your desires this morning? And we can blame the preachers all we want and say they're just, don't, we have to do this, we can't do that, we can't. No, this is about you and God now. This is about what you have on hand in your life. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. He said here, the lust of the flesh, sensual impure appetites. You know, our world is inundated with impurity. We're inundated with it. And it takes an active decision on our part to say, no, I will not. You see, if we don't take a stand against some things in our world, folks, we're going to, by tacit consent, we're going to be starting to yield to them. There are some things that we actively, you young people, you children, need to make active, purposeful decisions that I will not defile myself. Purposefully. why there was so much adultery, fornication, drugs, alcohol, the music of this world. Do you realize that it's trying, as we heard in Sunday school, the purpose, my heart goes out to people that are turning to those things because they're trying to find fulfillment. But if we would open up our hearts to God, there is a fulfillment that we will find that I don't even want the other. Well, can we be tempted with it still? Absolutely, yes. We can still be tempted with it because we're still flesh and blood. We're still human. There's going to be things that draw on us, but I found what my soul sought for. And I'm not going to trade it for what the flesh is calling for. And so now when I'm pure and holy, yes, I'm still tempted, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a grace and a power in the Holy Spirit that will keep us, that I can stay true to God, and I don't have to go back to what the Lord delivered me from. Lust of the flesh, physical gratification. I was really struck as I studied and meditated upon this niche one, the lust of the eyes, seeking fulfillment in the contemplation of things that incite the passions of the flesh. I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not touching anything. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing it. But the lust of the eyes is that which finds mental fulfillment. Mental fulfillment by allowing the imagination to go with the what ifs. You know, the lust of the eye, it's why it's not only what we think about passions of you know, adultery and those kinds of things. It has to do also with the lust of the eyes. It's the reason why you look at the fashion world today. And just because everybody wears something doesn't mean it's wrong. You know that, right? We're grown-ups, right? Spiritually. Some people say, well, if everybody's doing it, you better not do it. No, it has to do with your heart. Why are you doing it? I remember one time feeling guilty because I was wearing Nikes or Reeboks and Levi's. And someone was talking about it, almost made me feel like, oh, I guess I'm not doing holy because I know people are wearing Reeboks and Levi's, so I must be doing something wrong. No! It was, you know, the last long of the Reeboks. I'm not preaching name brands here now, but understand something. I can wear my Reeboks and they'll last me all year. If you want to buy Walmart shoes and buy them four times a year, that's your privilege. But it, just because people are wearing Reeboks doesn't mean that they're doing something wrong. You understand what I'm saying now? It has to do with my heart, though. Oh, I want to be like them, and I want people to look at me and think you're cool. I've got a problem in the heart now. Okay? So whether I'm wearing Walmart shoes or Reeboks, it really doesn't matter. It's a condition of my heart. All right, didn't know I was going to go there. But it's a condition of heart. And that's why I mentioned the fashion world. It's why jewelry and makeup and all of those things, it's something that wants to incite visually. And so that's why we need to turn away from those things. Why do I want to put on jewelry? And why? Because, you know, I'd like people to look at me, and if I can start wearing a lot more, then maybe people think I actually have money when I don't, or maybe I do and I want them to know it. It's a condition of heart. And yes, it has practical application of thou shalt not and thou should, but the reason for it all has to do with what's going on in your heart. It's not just the tasting of the flesh, it's looking. The pride of life, arrogance. We live in such an arrogant time. We live in such a time where people are so proud. Do you know my last name? Do you not know who I am? What's wrong with you? You're treating me like, do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what my IQ is? Do you know how educated I am? That's the pride of life. There's nothing wrong with education. If you've got a high IQ or a low IQ, the Lord loves you just the same. But we live in a time where people are getting so arrogant and so self-centered. The pride of life. I want the best and I want people to know it. I remember someone went through a little period of wealth and they sure wanted to show everything that they owned. They've lost it. You know, it would have been better just to have quietly appreciated God's blessings. But we're living in a time where there's such a pride. I'm talking about holiness now. Love not the world. Let's not live this way, but rather let's keep our love centered on God and on these things. We are called to holiness. And I want to say this morning that it's purity the same throughout. I can come to church and be a lamb, but if I'm a lion at home, something's wrong. I can come and I can be modest on Sunday, but immodest on Friday night. Wholesome songs, we come together, we can sing wholesome songs in worship, but unholy songs, we get on the radio and turn that radio on or put that CD in. Are we living holy? You don't need the preacher to go home. You don't want me to anyway. Frankly, I don't want to go home and look at everything in your life. I couldn't handle it. This is about you and God. Holiness. What's going on in your heart, in your life? Are we focused on the treasures of this earth? Are we focused on the treasures that have eternal value? On the outside, I can have a testimony of salvation, but what's going on in the inward man? We are called to holiness this morning. Bucket of potatoes? What's in your bucket? Is it the same throughout, or are you hiding some stuff? Rotten potatoes, little ones, things that... I was driving along and I looked over and I saw a lady with a bucket of small potatoes, and that was a great blessing to me. That's wonderful! Just show it like it is! I want little potatoes, I'll give you 200 shillings, but I'm not paying you 400 for them. At least she was honest about it. Put all the little ones in the bucket. If you're immature spiritually, you're struggling, get it out there and God can start ministering and binding up and delivering when we say, Lord, this is where I am. And the Lord's saying, thank you for acknowledging it. Now we can start working on it. We don't need to be ashamed of our weaknesses this morning, but we're ashamed when we cover it up like that bucket of potatoes. And when the Lord shows us needs in our life, He has the grace to change it. He has the grace that you can do what you could not do by yourself. That's the power of God. It's kind of like divine healing. People get the flu, they get the 3-day flu, and after 3 days they say, the Lord healed me. Well, I'm glad God blessed you after 3 days. You got feeling better. It's a 3-day flu. So give God glory for it. But divine healing is when I've got the 3-day flu and within 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes, the Lord divinely did something. That's divine healing. Divine healing is doing for us what man cannot do for himself. So what you can do for yourself, we attribute, say, well, divine heal. No, divine is divine miraculous intervention in the natural course of something. That's divine healing. And that was an aside. Holiness. Your bucket of potatoes. I want to say now this morning, I want to conclude with a few other thoughts, if you will give me a little bit more time. Whatever God shows us about our life, He has the grace to empower us to live holy. I can't do it by myself. But if I will give my love to God and I will open myself up, the Lord will begin to work that I can stand and say, by the grace of God, I'm living a holy life. It doesn't mean I don't have needs. We still have temptations. We still have weaknesses. But where God points them out, then He starts working and we keep yielding to it. Lord, I want You to keep working in my life there. But I want to share with you another problem. The most important is what we've covered, okay? But there's another problem with these buckets of potatoes that I found. What do you think if your mother was one of those women out there that sold those potatoes? See, all these women were doing the same thing. They had an influence on each other. If I see the lady selling beside me, putting her little ones underneath, it's like, well, I'm going to do the same thing. And so if my mom sold potatoes like that, what do you think when I go to another town, I'm going to go buy potatoes? What do you think I'm going to believe about those buckets of potatoes? They're covering up. They put the best on top. You start judging other people based upon your own experience. Do you see a problem with that? When you look around, I can look around here this morning and say, oh, you all are just a bunch of hypocrites. You're just a bunch of dried up old has-beens that never were. You know, in an old wax museum, you're just a bunch of traditionalists. You don't have anything anyway. Do you know what it tells me about someone that talks that way? It tells me they don't have anything. Because I don't believe it, because I found something in the Lord that's real this morning. But if I don't have anything, I'm going to start looking at all of you thinking, you all just like that bucket of potatoes. You look good on the outside, but I don't have confidence. You're all hypocrites. You see the danger in our homes, in the congregation, in the world that we live in. We start judging everybody else based on our own experience, or based on the experience of those that are close to us. Mom and dad. Relationships at home. Do you know what most children think? They think everybody's relationship at home is just like my mom and dad's. I found out at a pretty young age, a lot of marriages weren't like my mom and dad's. I remember the preacher children coming to meeting when I was 5 years old, talking about how their parents didn't get along. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, my parents never do that. So then in their minds, though, every marriage, that's the way marriage was. I want y'all to know something this morning. Be careful, and marriage is just one of them. Be careful about judging everybody's experience based on the bucket of potatoes that you've observed. You understand what I'm saying? This is where biases come from, too. And we have to be careful about it. Is anybody, no one's wearing a, let's see here. What's, okay, purple, there's purple and green and orange. I'm trying to find a color that's not represented here. Let's just say this, if you're all in black, I can't even see. If someone came in here this morning, let's say red, there we go. And they are completely dressed in all red, and they stole something. And then next Sunday, someone else came in, someone totally different, dressed in all red, and they stole something. The third Sunday, the same thing happened. Guess what's going to happen on the fourth Sunday? Someone comes dressed all in red, and we're going to be on our guard, suspicious, and watching them, because there's been this pattern developed. Red stealing. Red stealing. And they may be just as innocent and just as pure. Say, oh, I know what family you come from. Your family's all like that. Yeah, the Smiths. I know the Smiths. You don't know me. Yeah, but I know the Smiths. Do you see how we have to be very careful? This is where we form biases. We have to be careful about that. And I'm going to go a step further. Do you remember the woman, the sinner woman washed the feet of Jesus? Don't go home and get me in trouble now, okay? Brother Michael said it doesn't matter. Understand, okay? There was a sinner woman that washed the feet of Jesus, and it was put in the scripture for a reason. Okay? You go out on the mission field, you'll find some situations that, you know, not everybody's called the mission field. Jesus, His feet were washed by a sinner woman. And I've heard people among us get real uncomfortable when that's brought out. It's here for a reason. But I want to tell you part of the problem. The Pharisees said, oh, if he knew what manner of woman that was, he wouldn't do that. Do you know what they were doing? They were judging him based on their own bucket of potatoes. Jesus was holy. He was pure. His mind wasn't in the wrong place. But their mind was in the wrong place, so they attributed fleshly, carnal passions to Jesus himself, very likely, because that was their heart and mind. Do you see a problem here? It's so easy for people to put on someone else their own wrong carnal appetites when really that's not fair. Their heart may be pure. You're judging yourself. Lessons learned from a bucket of potatoes. After I finished speaking to these women, they all gathered around. I started talking to them about Christianity. Start saying that's just like a lot of us. We go to church and look good. And I said, but they put the little potatoes underneath. They heard a synopsis of what you've heard here this morning. And one of the ladies said, Father, forgive me. When I left, I don't know if she made any change, but you know what? This morning, we have opportunity to make changes in our life. If there's areas in my life that, yeah, there's some stuff buried, then Lord, I want to see you. I want to experience you in a richer way. Let's open our life to God. Let's let Him work this week. And be careful about judging other people
based on your bucket of potatoes, it may not be holy, thinking they're just like that. Because if I did that, I'd be doing it out of a wrong desire, so they must too. Not so. Amen.